Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Sulaiman, how are you doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Pakistan is fine. How's everything in South Africa?
Alhamdulillah, things are going okay. There is certain concerns here among certain members of the society of our country as well, that they don't want any upheavals between the Muslims and the Jews, so they're trying to foster this climate of peace and happiness and between the two. And that, of course, is
interfaith.
Yes, exactly that. I was just going to say that. But mashallah. So,
did they leave out the Christians?
Yes, in the, because there's no real issue with the Christians in this particular thing. That's what they're saying. And I think.
So a Christian can't be a Zionist, huh?
Yes. There is one of the possibilities that they may be saying. But they can be because you get all of the. In fact, the, you get these groups, and if you. Driving on the highway, you will see them on the mountainous areas. You will see they sit there, they wear white, and it's called the ZCC group. And when you find out what does it stand for, so it stands for Zionist, Zionist Christian and Community. So the ZCC group. And they, the reason why they sit in these places is because it catches your attention when you're driving past. So you see them growing and people then say, hey, but they're growing, let's go now. And the whole day is in the sun and you sometimes you just wish to go and give them the truth. But yeah, you, someone needs to go and give them the truth and tell them who their creator really is.
SubhanAllah.
Yes, so...
South Africa's in the bottom.
Sorry?
South Africa's in the bottom.
Yeah, so actually ZCC, it stands for Zion Christian Church. That's the, but Zion is there. Although they may say we don't eat, we don't do this, and their belief structure is they don't eat pork and all of this. They stay away from these things and the rest. That is why we had one.
Do they eat halal or kosher?
Basically,
do they eat halal or kosher?
No, I don't think they don't eat halal, but they don't eat pork. So that's, I don't know what's the rest of their beliefs. But we had one domestic, and she was, my family was encouraging her, and it was much easier to speak to her because she wasn't eating pork, basically. And in terms of cleanliness and certain things. And then she embraced Islam eventually. But the problem was she was receiving a lot of threats from her family members and the sons. And they said, you better stop this thing, otherwise we're going to kill you. And so there was like no way out of it. And then eventually we lost touch with her, and Allah knows best. We hope that Allah Azawajal, can, if she went in another path, return her back to Islam. But this is the kind of difficulties that they face. However, and just to inform you just a little bit, there is our... the Malawian community in South Africa, and a lot of them are Muslims. So effort is currently made on them because they stay in these locations. So you'll see they have a big role to play because generally we cannot go to these locations. Sometimes they will harass you. Sometimes they will, or maybe we under this misconception that they will or something. But they living there, and they face much difficulties at times because they are the locals of the, they are not the locals of the country. So due to that, they, people say, but you got jobs and you, but the way they treating the locals of the country is now becoming such where it's sort of a message, and you've been saying this all the time of this, how that we must love Islam. And by just by loving Islam, this has been, this is a invitation to Islam. So they, that's what they're doing. Yes. And alhamdulillah, it's one person, they realizing that, you know, the men are more loyal to their wives. And you do get those that are, but generally. So the local women are seeing that these men are loyal. And loyalty means much more to a woman than people sleeping around and all the rest, for those who are still human beings and they have the qualities of human beings. And so slowly, slowly, we hope that they can play this role, which we are failing in, to give this message and to give the locals of the country. Because ultimately, it's just as we've also been stressing, it's just like, okay, I'm Indian, so I'll mix with Indians. They that color, so they'll mix with that color. It's not supposed to be like this. We're supposed to be one big community. And in Joburg, in South Africa, there is a place which is dedicated. We may have spoken about it before. And this is dedicated only whites there. And from the cleaners to the plumbers to the electricians, you only to enter that place, you have to be white. That's the condition. And you have to be from this Afrikaner thing. But many of them, I don't know what's the reason then they went to become refugees in America. We didn't speak to any of them. We would like to know what's their refugee status like and how is it to be living there in America. But so someone said we need to start doing something like this in South Africa or within, you know, you have a Muslim community. So I said, if we have to do it, there's no there can be no objections from the government, because already you've got a place like this for only whites. Ours will be a much better, because there won't be just whites, there won't be just Indians, there won't be just blacks, there will be all colors, because Muslims has all colors. But yeah,
right.
we are too engrossed in too many of the dunyawi purposes and objectives. So that's anyway, Mufti Saab, you can share a little bit from your side.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the conversation yesterday about Afghanistan. Okay, and I was talking with people last night who knew more about it than I did, although I was here at the time. Mullah Umar, rahmatullah alayh, he was considered Amir Mukminin. Okay?
Yes.
But not by himself.
By the people.
He never said that.
Mm.
Okay? So that is the misconception that a lot of people have outside of Afghanistan and Pakistan. He never said this.
Mm.
Although Al-Qaeda and other groups pledged bayah to him as the Amir of Jihad. Okay? But he never took that title.
Mm.
So now the who's running Afghanistan now are people not at his level, not at his level of iman and level of practice.
Mm.
Okay? There was a lot of things going on before the Taliban got replaced, got kicked out of out of power. And Maulana Desai had gone there. Okay? And he visited Afghanistan. He met Mullah Umar. He met the leaders there. And during that time, Maulana Desai noticed that there were trucks coming from China and heading to Pakistan. And they had televisions inside.
Mm.
So he asked why they were being stopped over here. And the security guards and what have you, they would tell them, well, we collect the tax from them because they are sending sending the cargo to Pakistan. But Maulana Desai said, is according to Islam, the television haram? I said, yes, it's haram. So how can you collect tax for it? Is it because they're not being sold here, being sold in Pakistan? So when Maulana asked them, is it okay to ruin the morals of the Muslims in Pakistan, they had no answer for him.
Hmm.
So the ulama here in Pakistan, they gave Maulana Desai a lot of problems. Okay? So much so that one issue, the Majlis, was the front page.
Hmm.
Okay? About the back and forth that they were having. While I was in the madrasa at the time, I was in Hassan Ulum, okay, which was run by Mufti Zarali Khan, Rahmatullah Alayh, who's a Pathan. Okay, and many of his students were Pathans from upper KPK in Pakistan, as well as Afghanistan, as well as people from the Northern Alliance. Now, Maulana Desai's position was, how can Mullah Umar, as much as good as he was doing, how can he be considered a Amir Mukmini when he only controls 80% of his own country? Forget about the rest of the Muslim countries, okay? And the Northern Alliance by Masood, I think it's Ahmed Masood, he was a very good fighter against Russia, and he won all his battles against Russia. And when Mullah Umar and Taliban took over most of Pakistan, I mean most of Afghanistan, Ahmed Massoud, he did not take bayat. Okay, and he had his own thing going. So people think that Taliban was ruling everything during the time of Mullah Umar, and that wasn't the case. Okay, and the ulama here in Pakistan, who were not Pathan, were calling the people of the Northern Alliance Murtad. Because they didn't take bayat to Mullah Umar. Okay? And Maulana Desai said, no, how can this be possible? You have to show how their Akida has changed. When they were fighting Russia, their Akida was fine. But now that though that war is over and they don't pledge bayat to Mullah Umar, their Akida has changed. So they didn't want to hear that. So Mufti Zahir Ali, he allowed people from the Northern Alliance to take Dakhla in our madrasa. But in Darul-Uloom with Mufti Taqi, they didn't allow anybody from the Northern Alliance, that area, to take Dakhla into Darul-Uloom Karachi. So the Shia thing, and there was a whole lot of other problems, okay, going on. So you question now, well, how can Taliban get together with the Shia and this and that? Well, there's a big whole history that Afghanistan was not as together as people think they were, even during the time of Mullah Umar. Okay, many of the ulama in Afghanistan disagree with Mullah Umar. Okay, they believe that he should have given up Osama. They believe that they shouldn't fight against America when America First was coming. And so he sat, what I heard was, he sat in the middle of the Shura and he said, I'm not asking anybody to fight who doesn't want to fight, but I am fighting because I know Allah is with me. Okay, and I will fight along with Allah, even if I'm by myself. Allah. So the people who are in power now are not like that man then. So this is why you have a whole lot of seeking recognition for, United Nations and for other people to, you know, recognize them as the government. Mullah Umar didn't care, but he was one man. Okay, he was one man and he was by himself with that. Even Pakistan, the ISI, they sent they sent ulama from Pakistan to convince Mullah Umar to give up Osama. And so they went. I won't mention the names, but we know the names of these ulama. And they sat with him, and some of them was his teacher when he was in the madrasa. He had to leave the madrasa after 4 years, right, because of the war in Afghanistan. But he was in madrasa for 4 years, all right? That's why they called him Mullah Umar, okay? And so when they told him, listen, you can't fight America. You gotta give up Osama. And so Mullah Umar told them, listen, you are my teachers. I can't believe you're telling me this. Okay, you're telling me I have to give up a Muslim to the non-Muslim for prosecution when they don't have any evidence against him? How can you ask me to do that?
Yes.
Okay, and they were Muftis and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, and he's a four-year student. All right, but he has such iman. Oh, so we have to disassociate Afghanistan with Mullah Omar. Okay, he was one of a kind, literally one of a kind. Okay, and people think that all of Afghanistan and all of the Taliban thought like him. No, that wasn't the case. Okay, that wasn't the case. So this is why you have it now with the meetings with the Shia. Okay, because if they can show, if the Taliban can show that the Shias get along with them, and if there's any Christians or Hindus that are there, they have a diverse community in Afghanistan, and the government is working to solve everyone's problems, regardless of their religion and et cetera, then maybe NATO or United Nations and the others will give them more credit and do business with them and give them recognition, which is something that Mullah Omar did not care about. He only cared about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, and if you just take one or two issues you've mentioned about the Shias, and if you look at it as well, the pictures, photography, you would not allow all of these things to take place, which has become so generally normal now. I mean, so I think you've just made me understand a particular thing, because we know for a fact that when they release these verdicts, and it seems to be coming from only one side, and that's where the problem is, because you'll see sometimes the Taliban have now decided there is no more picture making, and they've considered it to be haram, and that is the ruling now. And like this, we spoke about it yesterday, salah for men. Men must go to the masjid. Businesses, you must close your masjid, and you close your shops, all of this. You've got to be in the masjid. And they will be. So we've been seeing this over the. But in terms of when you see a practice, there's been some sort of no real aspect. So now you've made me understand that still there may be those who are sincere and those who want to continue with that particular, maybe not the same, but sort of get strength and get into that position. So then they will come out and they'll say that, look, pictures, haram, this, that. But then there seems to be someone else in another group of people which is now sort of making those verdicts or those laws impossible and saying that this we won't do. Because I've seen this. It comes on the group, it comes on the media, pictures, haram, this, that, and then the leaders are still taking and going with it. And when you have this, Allah has blessed you with this, then Allah can snatch it away. But I was speaking to a Palestinian the other day, and he made a point, and I still looked at him and I said, but this sounds doubtful now. So we were speaking about all of this, and you know, when Iran just came in on the 13th of June, and they came out, not Israel, in fact, they came and attacked Iran. They make you forget even. Israel makes you forget the day they attacked Iran. But anyway,
right.
When that took place, yes. So 2-3 days after that, this Palestinian, we always have these discussions, I told you. And he said, what do you have to say about Iran now? So I say, look, how we have two enemies and they fighting each other, we're happy to see this happening. We can sit back a little bit and see these enemies fight. So he was speaking about certain things and going into a different discussion and the rest. Then he mentioned this point of the Taliban. When I said, what about the Taliban? So he said, you see, the Taliban there is now is not the Taliban that was then. And I looked at him and I said, but you know, like how you say mic drop moment. So I said, I'll research this more and I'll see. Because there seems to be that sense of truth in what he's saying. Because just take the picture thing, take the TV thing, take so many other issues like this. And you'll compare it. And then, so there seems to be this infiltration. And you speak to people from Afghanistan, they tell me themselves that there is so many Salafis that is there. And it's hard to sift out who's who in the zoo anymore. So it's not that the U.S. just went and now Taliban is back in safety. They're still dealing with internal problems. And I think this is why we're seeing all of these things. They're not united on one cause.
Right. And it's because, I believe, because of the level of Iman. Okay, their leader, the original leader, has such a level of Iman that no one else could reach it. He was from Kandahar. Okay, his favorite color was blue. So when a woman wears the typical Afghan burqa, it's normally of a blue color. They call it Kandahar blue. He never visited Kabul his whole life. All right, and they asked him, "How come you never visited it? That's been the capital, and you know we should, you know, run things." So he said, "No, I don't like being with non-Muslims."
Hmm.
I don't like being associated with non-Muslims. Okay, so who there now is like that? Who empowered now is like that?
Just when you
so there you are.
When you said this about how he opposes teachers on this particular point, it says so many. It sends down so much of happiness that they had such a leader like this. I mean, what an important point. How can we hand over a Muslim for no reason to a non-Muslim just so that they can abuse him and the rest? Accusations being placed upon him.
And his backup point was, if they do have proof, he said, I've asked America for the proof. He said, if they provide the proof and give it to me, we will judge him here in Afghanistan. Okay, we'll not allow them to take him and judge him in an American court. Okay, we will judge him here under Islamic rules. Okay, if they provide evidence, but they never did that because they didn't have evidence.
Exactly, but we still hope that something can change, or some, I don't know what's the plan of action going forth. Inshallah we can. I did try to speak to one of the spokespersons at the moment, but he says he can't speak English, so we'll have to get someone to translate. Perhaps you yourself, Mufti Saab, you can translate for us.
I don't think so. Good try.
So yeah, but alhamdulillah, the amount that Allah is Azawajal is opening up for them, the amount of natural resources that they've been discovering, that China is also interested in natural resources, the rest. And this is showing you, we are just doing the hadith just before you came on with Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had sent them on an expedition. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was the leader, and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu used to give them one date a day, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they would just like suck a little bit of it just to get some type of nourishment, you know. And they say it in the hadith,
right,
that it was like the others asked, how did you survive on this? What you used to do with this? So Jabir radiallahu anhu says, we used to just lick it, suck it like our baby, tahniq time, you know, when the baby is born. We used to just take benefit like this. Until we reached a point, we were walking, and it was on the banks of the ocean, and we saw this big animal. In the hadith, it's called Al-Ambar. And so huge was this animal that if they took out the ribs of it, a camel could walk through it. And 300 of them ate from that particular animal, Al-Ambar, for 1 month. And they say we got fat also. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also took some of this and ate, because he was so excited. They showed Rasul and he ate from it. And this was the result of having that tawakkul, having that. Of course, we are all weak in this. But when Allah has given you so much like this, you, it's a perfect platform to now show Islam to the world and show what it is. Inshallah, we still hope for that.
Inshallah.
I'm not sure. There was one brother was contacting us, and he said he's from he's moved to Afghanistan and he was going to travel to Pakistan. We did ask you if you can hand over the number. We did. I'm not sure if he contacted you as yet. Perhaps that brother, he can also message us. Did he contact you, Mufti Sa?
You remember his name?
If I'm not mistaken, Uthman. But I'll just double check it on my contact list as well.
Okay. There's an Abdullah Burgess.
Yes, that brother.
Who's coming here?
Yeah, that's
him, huh?
Abdullah, yes.
Yes, he's
Abdullah.
Coming. I think he's coming Thursday.
Oh, okay, all right. So yes, inshallah.
All right. He had visa problems and some other issues.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to Islamabad first on Thursday, this coming Thursday.
Okay.
I believe. But yes, he planned we're in touch. We plan on meeting, inshallah. Yes.
Okay, so you'll give us feedback on Monday then. Mufti, you make dua for us.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum as-salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.